Tractate 19. John 5. 19-30. Part 1. In the former discourse, so far as the subject impressed us, and so far as our poverty of understanding attained to, we have spoken by occasion of the words of the Gospel, where it is written, "The Son cannot do anything of himself, but what he seeth the Father doing, what it is for the Son that is, the Word, for the Son is the Word to see, and as all things were made by the Word, how it is to be understood that the Son first sees the Father doing, and then only himself also doth the things which he has seen done, seeing that the Father has done nothing except by the Son. For all things were made by him, and without him was nothing made. We have not, however, delivered to you anything as fully explained, and that because we have not understood anything thus clearly set forth. For, indeed, speech sometimes fails even where the understanding makes way, how much more doth speech suffer defect, where the understanding has nothing perfect. Now, therefore, as the Lord gives us, let us briefly run over the passage, and even today complete the due task. Should there perchance remain somewhat of time or of strength, we will reconsider, so far as it may be practicable for us and with you, what it is for the Word to see and to be shown to, since, in fact, all that is here spoken is such that, if understood according to man's sense, carnally, the soul full of vain fancies makes for us only certain images of the Father and the Son, just as of two men, the one showing, the other seeing, the one speaking, the other hearing, all which are idols of the heart. And if now at length idols have been cast down from their own temples, how much more ought they to be cast down from Christian hearts? The Son, saith he, cannot do anything of himself, but what he sees the Father doing. This is true, hold this fast, while at the same time you do not let slip what you have gotten in the beginning of the Gospel, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and especially that all things were made by him. Join this that you have now heard to that hearing, and let both agree together in your hearts. Thus, the Son cannot of himself do anything, except what he seeth the Father doing, is yet in such wise that what the Father doth, he doth only by the Son, because the Son is his Word, and, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, also, all things were made by him. For what things soever he doth, the Son also doth in like manner, not other things, but these, and not in a different, but in like manner. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doth. To that which he said above, except what he seeth the Father doing, seems to belong this also, he showeth him all things that himself doth. But if the Father doth show what he doth, and the Son cannot do except the Father hath shown, and if the Father cannot show unless he hath done, it will follow that it is not through the Son that the Father doth all things. Moreover, if we hold it fixed and unshaken, that the Father doth all by the Son, then he shows the Son before he doth. For if the Father doth show to the Son after he has done, that the Son may do the things shown, which being shown were already done, then doubtless something there is that the Father doth without the Son. But the Father doth not anything without the Son, because the Son of God is God's Word, and all things were made by him. It remains, then, that possibly what the Father is about to do, he shows as about to be done, that it may be done by the Son. For if the Son doth those things which the Father showeth as already done, surely it is not by the Son that the Father hath done the things which he thus showeth. For they could not be shown to the Son unless they were first done, and the Son would not be able to do them unless they were first shown, therefore were they made without the Son. But yet it is a true thing, all things were made by him, therefore they were shown before they were made. But this we said must be put off, and returned to after briefly scanning the passage, if, as we said, some portion of time and of strength should remain to us for a reconsideration of the matters deferred. Attend now to a wider and more difficult question. And greater works than these, saith he, will he show him, that you may marvel. Greater than these. Greater than which? The answer readily occurs, than the cures of bodily diseases which you have just heard, for the whole occasion of this discourse arose about the man who was 38 years in infirmity, and was healed by the word of Christ, and in respect of this cure, the Lord could say, greater works than these he will show him, that you may marvel. For there are greater, and the Father will show them to the Son. It is not hath shown, as of a thing past, but will show, of a thing future, or, is about to show. Again a difficult question arises, why, then, is there something with the Father that has not yet been shown to the Son? Is there something with the Father that was still hid from the Son when he spoke these words? For surely, if it be will show, that is to say, is about to show, then he has not yet shown, and he is about to show to the Son at the same time as to these persons, since it follows, that you may marvel. And this is a thing hard to see, how the eternal Father doth show something, as it were in time, to the co-eternal Son, who knoweth all things that are with the Father. But what are the greater works? For perhaps this is easy to understand. For as the Father, saith he, raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. To raise the dead, then, are greater works than to heal the sick. But as the Father raiseth the dead, and quickeneth them, so also the Son quickeneth whom he will. Hence, the Father some, the Son others. But all things are by him, therefore the Son the same persons as the Father doth, since the Son doth not other things and in a different manner, but these and in like manner. Thus clearly it must be understood, and thus held. But keep in memory that the Son quickeneth whom he will. Here, too, know not only the power of the Son, but also the will. Both the Son quickeneth whom he will, and also the Father quickeneth whom he will, the Son the same persons as the Father, and hence the power of the Father and of the Son is the same, and also the will is the same. What follows then? For the Father judgeth not any man, but hath given all judgment to the Son, that all men may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. This he subjoined, as rendering a reason of the foregoing sentence. A great question comes before us, give it you our earnest attention. The Son quickeneth whom he will, the Father quickeneth whom he will, the Son raiseth the dead, just as the Father raiseth the dead. And further, the Father judgeth not any man. If the dead must be raised in the judgment, how can it be said that the Father raiseth the dead, if he judgeth not any man, since he hath given all judgment to the Son? But in that judgment the dead are raised, some rise to life, others to punishment. If the Son doth all this, but the Father not, inasmuch as he judgeth not any man, but hath given all judgment to the Son, it will appear contrary to what has been said, viz., as the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, so also the Son quickeneth whom he will. Consequently the Father and the Son raise together, if they raise together, they quicken together, hence they judge together. How, then, is that true? For the Father judgeth not any man, but hath given all judgment to the Son. Meanwhile let the questions now proposed engage your minds, the Lord will cause that, when solved, they will delight you. For so it is, brethren, every question, unless it stirs the mind to reflection, will not give delight when explained. May the Lord himself then follow with us, in case he may perhaps reveal himself somewhat in those matters which he foldeth up. For he foldeth up his light with a cloud, and it is difficult to fly like an eagle above every obscure mist with which the whole earth is covered, and to behold the most serene light in the words of the Lord. In case, then, he may perhaps dissipate our darkness with the heat of his rays, and deign to reveal himself somewhat in the sequel, let us, deferring these questions, look at what follows. Whoso honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father that sent him. This is a truth, and is plain. Since, then, all judgment hath he given to the Son, as he said above, that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father, what if there be those who honor the Father and honor not the Son? It cannot be, saith he, whoso honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father that sent him. One cannot therefore say, I honored the Father, because I knew not the Son. If thou didst not yet honor the Son, neither didst thou honor the Father. For what is honoring the Father, unless it be in that he hath a Son? It is one thing when thou art taught to honor God in that he is God, but another thing when thou art taught to honor him in that he is Father. When thou art taught to honor him in that he is God, it is as the Creator, as the Almighty, as the Spirit Supreme, eternal, invisible, unchangeable, that thou art led to think of him, but when thou art taught to honor him in that he is Father, it is the same thing as to honor the Son, because Father cannot be said if there be not a Son, as neither can Son if there be not a Father. But lest, it may be, thou honorest the Father indeed as greater, but the Son as less, as thou mayest say to me, I do honor the Father, for I know that he has a Son, nor do I err in the name Father, for I do not understand Father without Son, and yet the Son also I honor as the less. The Son himself sets thee right, and recalls thee, saying, that all may honor the Son, not in a lower degree, but as they honor the Father. Therefore, whoso honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father that sent him. I, sayest thou, wish to give greater honor to the Father, less to the Son. Therein thou takest away honor from the Father, wherein thou givest less to the Son. For, being thus minded, it must really seem to thee that the Father either would not or could not beget a Son equal to himself. If he would not, he lacked the will; if he could not, he lacked the ability. Dost thou not therefore see that, being thus minded, wherein thou wouldst give greater honor to the Father, therein thou art reproachful to the Father? Wherefore, so honor the Son as thou honorest the Father, if thou wouldest honor both the Father and the Son. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whoso heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath eternal life, and cometh not into judgment, but is passed, not is passing now, but is already passed, from death into life. And mark this, whoso heareth my word, and he says not, believeth me, but dash believeth him that sent me. Let him hear the word of the Son, that he may believe the Father. Why heareth thy word, and yet believeth another? When we hear any one's word, is it not him that utters the word we believe? Is it not to him who speaks we lend our faith? What, then, did he mean, saying, whoso heareth my word, and believeth him that sent me, if it be not this, because his word is in me? And what is heareth my word, but heareth me? So, too, believeth him that sent me, because, believing him, he believeth his word, but again, believing his word, he believeth me, because I am the word of the Father. There is therefore peace in the Scriptures, and all things duly disposed, and in no way clashing. Cast away, then, contention from thy heart, understand the harmony of the Scriptures. Dost thou think that the truth should speak things contrary to itself? Whoso heareth my word, and believeth him that sent me, hath eternal life, and cometh not into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. You remember what we laid down above, that as the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, so also the Son quickeneth whom he will. He is beginning already to reveal himself, and behold, even now, the dead are rising. For whoso heareth my word, and believeth him that sent me, hath eternal life, and will not come into judgment. Prove that he has risen again. But is passed, saith he, from death unto life. He that is passed from death unto life, has surely without any doubt risen again. For he could not pass from death to life, unless he were first in death and not in life, but when he will have passed, he will be in life, and not in death. He was therefore dead, and is alive again; he was lost, but is found. Hence a resurrection does take place now, and men pass from a death to a life, from the death of infidelity to the life of faith, from the death of falsehood to the life of truth, from the death of iniquity to the life of righteousness. There is, therefore, that which is a resurrection of the dead. May he open the same more fully, and dawn upon us as he begins to do. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is. We did look for a resurrection of the dead in the end, for so we have believed; yes, not we looked, but are manifestly bound to look for it, for it is not a false thing we believe, when we believe that the dead will rise in the end. When the Lord Jesus, then, was willing to make known to us a resurrection of the dead before the resurrection of the dead, it is not as that of Lazarus, or of the widow's son, or of the ruler of the synagogue's daughter, who were raised to die again, for in their case there was a resurrection of the dead before the resurrection of the dead, but, as he says here, hath, says he, eternal life, and cometh not into judgment, but is passed from death into life. To what life? To life eternal. Not, then, as the body of Lazarus, for he indeed passed from the death of the tomb to the life of men, but not to life eternal, seeing he was to die again, whereas the dead, that are to rise again at the end of the world, will pass to eternal life. When our Lord Jesus Christ, then, our heavenly Master, the Word of the Father, and the truth, was willing to represent to us a resurrection of the dead to eternal life before the resurrection of the dead to eternal life, the hour cometh, saith he. Doubtless thou, imbued with the faith of the resurrection of the flesh, didst look for the hour of the end of the world, which, that thou shouldst not look for here, he added, and now is. Therefore he saith not this, the hour cometh, of that last hour, when at the commuted and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet Christ in the air, and so shall we be ever with the Lord. That hour will come, but is not now. But consider what this hour is: the hour cometh, and now is. What happens in that hour? What, but a resurrection of the dead? And what kind of resurrection? Such that they who rise live forever. This will be also in the last hour. What then? How do we understand these two resurrections? Do we, it may be, understand that they who rise now will not rise then, that the resurrection of some is now, of some others then? It is not so. For we have risen in this resurrection, if we have rightly believed, and we ourselves, who have already risen, are looking for another resurrection in the end. Moreover, both now are we risen to eternal life, if we perseveringly continue in the same faith, and then, too, we shall rise to eternal life, when we shall be made equal with the angels. But let himself distinguish and open up what we have made bold to speak, how there happens to be a resurrection before a resurrection, not of different but of the same persons, nor like that of Lazarus, but into eternal life. He will open it clearly. Hear you the Master, while dawning upon us, and as our sun gliding in upon our hearts, not such as the eyes of flesh desire to look upon, but on whom the eyes of the heart fervently long to be opened. To him, then, let us give ear. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour cometh, and now is, when the dead you see that a resurrection is asserted shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Why hath he added, they that hear shall live? Why, could they hear unless they lived? It would have been enough, then, to say, the hour cometh, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. We should immediately understand them to be living, since they could not hear unless they lived. No, saith he, not because they live they bear, but by hearing they come to life again, shall hear, and they that hear shall live. What, then, is shall hear, but shall obey? For, as to the hearing of the ear, not all who hear shall live. Many, indeed, hear and do not believe, by hearing and not believing, they obey not, by not obeying, they live not. And so here, they that shall hear are they that shall obey. They that obey, then, shall live, let them be sure and certain of it, shall live. Christ, the Word of God, is preached to us, the Son of God, by whom all things were made, who, for the dispensation's sake, surely took flesh, was born of a virgin, was an infant in the flesh, a young man in the flesh, suffering in the flesh, dying in the flesh, rising again in the flesh, ascending in the flesh, promising a resurrection to the flesh, promising a resurrection to the mind before the flesh, to the flesh after the mind. Whoso heareth and obeyeth, shall live, whoso heareth and obeyeth not, that is, heareth and despiseth, heareth and believeth not, shall not live. Why shall not live? Because he heareth not. What is heareth not? Obeyeth not. Thus, then, they that hear shall live. Turn your thoughts now to what we said had to be deferred, that it may now, if possible, be opened. Concerning this very resurrection he immediately subjoined, for as the Father hath life in himself, even so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. What means that, the Father hath life in himself? Not elsewhere hath he life but in himself. His living, in fact, is in him, not from elsewhere, nor derived from another. He does not, as it were, borrow life, nor, as it were, become a partaker of a life which is not what himself is, but hath life in himself, so that the very life is to him his very self. If I should be able yet further in some small measure to speak from this matter, by proposing examples for informing your understanding, will depend on God's help and the piety of your attention. God lives, and the soul also lives, but the life of God is unchangeable, the life of the soul is changeable. In God is neither increase nor decrease, but he is the same always in himself, is ever as he is, not in one way now, in another way hereafter, in some other way before. But the life of the soul is exceedingly various, it lived foolish, it lives wise, it lived unrighteous, it lives righteous, now remembers, now forgets, now learns, now cannot learn, now loses what it had learned, now apprehends what it had lost. The life of the soul is changeable. And when the soul lives in unrighteousness, that is its death, when again it becomes righteous, it becomes partaker of another life, which is not what itself is, inasmuch as by rising up to God, and cleaving to God, of him it is justified. For it is said, to him that believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. By forsaking God, it becomes unrighteous, by coming to him, it is made righteous. Does it not seem to thee as it were something cold, which, when brought near the fire, grows warm, when removed from the fire, grows cold? A something dark, which, brought near the light, grows bright, when removed from the light, grows dark? Something such as the soul, God is not any such thing. Moreover, man may say that he has light now in his eyes. Let thine eyes say then, if they can, as by a voice of their own, we have light in ourselves. I answer, not correctly do you say that you have light in yourselves, you have light, but in the heavens, you have light, but in the moon, in candles, if it happen to be night, not in yourselves, for, being shut, you lose what you perceive when open. Not in yourselves have you light, keep the light if you can when the sun is set, 'tis night, enjoy the light of night, keep the light when the candle is withdrawn, but since you remain in darkness when the candle is withdrawn, you have not light in yourselves. Consequently, to have light in oneself is not to need light from another. Behold, whoso understands wherein he shows that the Son is equal with the Father, when he saith, as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son also to have life in himself, that there may be only this difference between the Father and the Son, that the Father hath life in himself, which none gave him, whilst the Son hath life in himself which the Father gave.